One day, Jesus found himself at a dinner party, probably a Labor Day cookout or something. And he was with a bunch of Pharisees, and he noticed that at this party, the Pharisees were sitting in places of honor. They were trying to outdo each other in places of honor at the table. So Jesus had a message for them. And I invite you to stand together as we read our key verse together this morning. This is from Luke chapter 14. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. You may be seated. So here in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is enjoying a meal with some Pharisees on the Sabbath. And Scripture says that they were watching him closely. Jesus is eating with them, and they were watching him closely. Coincidentally, while they are watching him closely, a man with dropsy, we'll talk about that in just a minute, but a man who was unclean, a man who was sick, came before Jesus. And again, the Pharisees, they watched him closely. It's the Sabbath. Is he going to heal him or not? And Jesus asks them, before the Pharisees can speak, Jesus asks them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And the Pharisees say nothing. So Jesus, he heals the man and sends him on his way. And then he looks back at the Pharisees and says, which one of you, if your son or daughter fell in a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you get her out? And they say nothing, which means they weren't watching Jesus closely enough. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? There are a couple of things to think about in these first few verses of Luke chapter 14. The first is I'd like to think about this unnamed, unclean man. And you have some notes on your sermon sheet, your cheat sheet here. I'd like to think about this unnamed, unclean guy who just happens to find himself in front of Jesus at this Pharisee dinner party. How did he get there? What is he doing? He certainly didn't get an invitation in the mail because this is the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, the last thing the Pharisees want to deal with is someone who is unclean being around them on the Sabbath. So you know he didn't get an invitation. It's also not likely that he just wandered in off the street into a Pharisee's house. I mean, he would have been stopped at coat check because, again, same reason, he's unclean. He would not have gotten in. So how did this unnamed, unclean man find himself before Jesus? Now remember, they were watching him closely. How did this man get there? It seems as if the Pharisees brought this man to Jesus in order to entrap Jesus. That's how the man got there. The Pharisees are using him as a pawn in this chess match that Jesus and the Pharisees tend to have. They watched him closely. There are times when Jesus was filled with anger in the Gospels, and it's a holy anger. He overturns the tables in the temple. There are times when Jesus is filled with a holy anger, and the times when he is filled with a holy anger, it is when people are being abused. When people are being abused, it fills Jesus with a holy anger, and I imagine Jesus' heart being moved in this moment to see the Pharisees using this man as a pawn in this game. So Jesus heals him. And Scripture says Jesus sends him away. Now, it's not that Jesus would heal him and then invite him to stay at dinner. It almost sounds like a harsh kind of thing to heal him and send him away. But understand what Jesus is doing. Jesus heals him and sets him free. In other words, I imagine the conversation to go something like this. You are well. You don't have to be here anymore. You don't have to live under what they're telling you to do anymore. You're free. Jesus heals him and sets him free. And that's what Jesus came to do, isn't it? Early in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is at his home church, First Church Nazareth, and he's there from out of town, and they invite him to do the scripture reading because it's the young man coming back home. Oh, Jesus, come and read the scripture. So he unrolled the scroll of Isaiah, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, to release to the captives, recovery of eyesight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he said, "Oh, and by the way, the scripture I just read has now been fulfilled in your hearing." And then, of course, his home church wanted to throw him off a cliff after reading that, because he was saying that he was from God, and they weren't too sure about that. Not only is this man unclean, but he is suffering from dropsy. Now, dropsy is an old word for edema, which is where you retain water. Your body retains water. You're bloated, your body retains water, yet you're thirsty. You are left with, even though your body is retaining water, you are left with an unquenchable thirst. You can't be satisfied. You're not satisfied. Interesting that this man who has an unquenchable thirst finds his way to Jesus. Jesus, who said in the Gospel of John, at least, "I offer living water. Those who come to me will never go thirsty again." Make no mistake of the symbolism that Luke is portraying here. This man with an unquenchable thirst finds his way to Jesus and is healed. And sometimes we don't give Luke enough credit for the setting that Luke creates. Sometimes we think about John as the symbolic gospel, and it starts with this real heady, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," and da-da-da-da-da, and it has all this imagery, this beautiful symbolism. We don't often give Luke the same kind of credit, but look at what's happening. Here is a man before Jesus who is bloated with an unquenchable thirst. Make no mistake, this man is not the only one in the room with an insatiable thirst. The room is full of them. The Pharisees, they can never be satisfied with their power. They're seeking power. Just like this man has an insatiable thirst, the Pharisees have an insatiable thirst for power. Because what happens? Later in the story, Jesus sees, you know, they're now starting to eat at this banquet, and he sees all of them fighting for the best place at the table. And Jesus, I would imagine him saying, "Do you not just notice what I did with the man with dropsy? Do you not notice what Luke is doing here in this story, friends? This beautiful symbolism of a man who is sick, insatiable desire, and you Pharisees who have this insatiable desire?" So what does he tell them? He says, "Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted." You know, like the guy I just healed, who came to me asking for healing. Our word for the day. Make no mistake, the man with dropsy is not the only one Jesus is trying to cure from an insatiable appetite. The second thing really to glean from this text is Jesus' question to the Pharisees. When the man approaches Jesus, he asks the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" It's a good question, actually. And there are lots of answers to that question. Yes, well, no, it's not lawful because, well, officially it is against the Jewish law, but, well, yeah, it is, but it's not. This is one of the reasons why Christianity is so hard. Jesus asks these questions. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? On the Sabbath, you are not allowed to do work. So one helpful thing we must do is talk about, what is Jesus talking about when he refers to work? What is work? How do we define that? If we're talking about Sabbath and work, how do we define work? And especially on this Labor Day, this is good to talk about work and godly work. And how does Jesus define that? Three things with work. First, work could be your job, that which you do to provide, whether to provide for your family or to provide for your friends or your church. And it's not necessarily a 9-to-5 job, but it's preparing a meal. What you do, your job, to provide for your family. Now, sometimes jobs can be a 4-letter word. You know, that's why we call it work, because it's a 4-letter word. And it's, you know, sometimes we get into a rut and we, you know, TGIF, thank God it's Friday, we can finally get out of this place, or, You know, we look forward to hump day in the Geico commercial. You know, it's Wednesday, you know. hump day. Finally, you know, it's, Mike, what day is it? Game day, yeah, exactly. Sometimes work can be just a job. Certainly on the Sabbath, God is asking us to put that job aside, to put that job down. Not only is work a job, work can also be your occupation. Well, what is your occupation? Your occupation is simply that which occupies your time, or most of your time. Oh, it could be your job. It could also be Facebook. Facebook could be your occupation. You're on Facebook more hours than you are actually working. Or maybe your occupation is actually worry. That even though you have a good job and a good family, you're always worried about something. Maybe your occupation is fear. You're afraid of what others think. You're constantly living in this place of fear of what tomorrow brings, fear of the unknown. Fear would then be your occupation. Maybe your occupation is hope or joy or love. Your job is what you do to provide. Your occupation is that which occupies most of your time, whether it be your job or whether it be like college football on Saturday. Yeah? On the Sabbath, certainly, God wants us to set aside that which occupies us. God wants us to set aside our job and that work. God also wants us to set aside that which overcomes our mind, that which occupies our time and who we are. But there's a third thing we could talk about when talking about work, and it's not your job and it's not your occupation, it's your vocation. Your vocation is who you are called to be. It's not a what. It's not what you do or what occupies your time. It is who you are called to be. Sabbath day. It is important on a Sabbath day to put our job aside, you know, that job you do to provide, because it reminds us that God is in fact the provider. So when they say, do no work on the Sabbath, yeah, don't do your job so that you might be reminded that God is the one who's providing. Do no work on the Sabbath also can talk about our occupation. Set that aside so that God might occupy our mind. God might occupy our time. Thinking, praying, spending time in relationship with God. Yeah, put that, you know, turn the internet off or turn the TV off or spend that time with God. Vocation. I would say that just like the Sabbath says, do no work, so lay down the job and lay down the occupation, I think the Sabbath is asking us to take up our vocation. Actually, pick up your vocation. Spend time in asking what God is calling you to become and who God is calling you to be. So Jesus asks, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Well, in a way, no, it's not, because you're breaking Jewish law to heal on the Sabbath. But on another side, yes, it is good to heal on the Sabbath. Yes, God is calling us to pick up our vocation, to go out into the world, to do what God is calling us to do. Here's the thing. Rules are important. Rules are needed. He's not in here? Okay, well, sometimes you can break the rules, okay? Rules are important, but here's the thing. When rules get in the way of us doing the work of God wins. When there is tension between Jesus and the law, Jesus wins. Jesus wins. Jesus broke some rules. We may have to break some rules in order to do the work of God, to do what Jesus is calling us to do. And just so that you address your letter well, the bishop lives at 527 North Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70802. We may have to break some rules to do what God is calling us to do. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? It's actually not a yes or no question, by the way. If you can answer yes or no, it's not a real question, I think. Real questions that dig at the heart of learning new knowledge is not a yes or no. Yes or no does not suffice. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? What do the Pharisees do? They say nothing. I would imagine, it's not recorded, but I would imagine that they might have kind of looked at each other, maybe debated and talked about it. And Jesus is saying, so while they're debating whether or not it's a good thing to heal someone on the Sabbath, what is Jesus doing? Healing someone and transforming someone's life. So while you debate whether or not it is kosher to heal, I'm going to go over here and actually do it and transform someone's life. Jesus' question is not looking for an answer. It's not a call to an answer. It is a call to action. When Jesus asks a question, it is rarely is Jesus looking for words. Jesus is looking for action to go out into the world. Is it lawful? Jesus is priming the pump. What Jesus is saying is, go and heal in that question. That is what Jesus is doing. When Jesus asks us a question such as this, it is a call to action. It is a call to put down our job so that we can remember that God is the one who's providing. It is a call to let our occupation be prayer, Bible study, meditating on who God is, so that our vocation, who we are called to become, may be a call to action to go out into the world. So I ask you to be mindful during this Labor Day weekend. First of all, to be mindful of those who are working when you go to the grocery store to pick up whatever it is, or you go to the gas station and fill up. Those who don't, in fact, have the day off today or next or tomorrow. But also be mindful this weekend. This is a wonderful time to sit and pray about who God is calling us to become here in this city and beyond. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.